The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. Friday night already, and only one Friday to go, and then it's Halloween. Harry Cooper is with us tonight. Harry just got back from another patrol or trip to Europe to see all kinds of fascinating things. He had one of the most remarkable trips in a long time in terms of new information. We won't be able to hear all of it, but maybe he'll tantalize us a bit with some of it. In the meantime, how are you, Harry? Welcome back.
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks. Good to be back here away from all the excitement with the border jumpers over there.
Were you seeing much visible activity when you were there of that?
Yes and no. Residual effects, I guess. When we were driving south on the Autobahn A9 out of Bavaria, Germany, into Austria, we were buzzing along fine going south into Austria, but the traffic coming from Austria going north into Germany was dead stopped. There was a backup for about 5 miles on the Autobahn because the police, the authorities, whatever it might have been, border troops, I don't know, the German authorities had set up a camp right there on the side of the Autobahn with field tents and trucks and vehicles and, of course, porta-potties. That's a lot easier than latrines. We used to have to dig when I was in the military. And they absolutely stopped every vehicle going north into Germany, checking passports.
Really? Yeah. Oh, good for them.
Yeah, they were checking the passports and also
looking. Was this Bavaria, did you say?
Right, Bavaria, right. That's the southern border.
Well, they're the only one that has stood up to Merkel that I've read about.
Well, I'm not supposed to get into politics, but she's right. Just dancing on a string like Obama. They're puppets, but that's another story. I don't want to get arrested. I'm in enough trouble over there anyhow.
Yeah.
Then when I was coming back, I forget where I was coming from. Oh, right. I stayed an extra week after the tour group went home to visit some of my agents. And as I was coming back into Austria, I was not on the Autobahn because it was easier for me to take surface highways. They were stopping everybody there, and they just looked at my passport and looked into the vehicle to make sure I didn't have anybody hiding under the seat, and no problem. The hotel we stay at in southern Austria is owned by people who have become dear friends of mine. I've been, it's like my home in Austria.
Mm-hmm.
Their son is now 25, and he's a medic in the Austrian army. His unit got deployed along the Hungarian-Austrian border. And as a medic, I guess he's taking care of sick people or checking to see if they're halfway healthy coming in. The guy who he and his wife own the hotel, he's in the military too, but he's a high enough rank to where he just drives to the headquarters in the morning and drives home at night.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife is all alone running the hotel during the daytime, and she has a bag packed with clothes and important papers, and she also now, and this is unheard of in Austria, she's carrying a pistol. So, oh, and then one of the people on our tour, a young lady, had to leave early. We were in southern Austria, and her plane was flying out of Munich. She had already arranged it to fly out of Munich, Germany. No big deal. Just take her to the local train station, get a train. It goes up to Munich Airport, get on the plane. No, they had shut the border to all trains going into Germany. There were no trains going into Germany, period. So I had to drive her all the way to Ljubljana, Slovenia, where she could catch an airplane to Munich to catch her flight home. Okay, it's a pain in the butt, but I do that for my people who travel with me. But she had to lay out another $300 or $400 for an airplane ticket that she should not have had to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the situation they're having there is a mess.
If they don't stop it, Harry, if they literally don't deport and eject all of them back to the country of origin, they're going to be toast. Germany will cease to exist as we knew it.
Yeah, there are some who think that is the plan.
That obviously is the plan. I agree.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to get deported. And people are wondering why it's all the young, healthy males that are coming in. Very, very few wives, very, very few kids. It's all the young, healthy men. So, and I'm told they all have cell phones and they're wearing nice clothes. I saw a few of them. I don't know whether their clothes are nice or shabby. I didn't bother to ask them where they shop.
Uh-huh.
It's a situation that I guess it caught a lot of people by surprise. And it didn't cause us any problem in our getting around. And like I say, I'm in enough trouble over there in Austria now anyhow.
What are you in trouble for?
Well, you know, I used to drive Grand National stock cars.
Yeah.
And the Autobahn has no speed limit. In Germany, in Austria, it do.
Uh-oh. You got nailed?
I believe so. They got what they call bird boxes.
Uh-huh.
Which is a box with a camera in it and radar, and it flashed me. The speed limit there, the national speed limit, is 130 kilometers per hour, which is about 80. And my little rental, turbocharged rental car, I got it up to 190, which is about 120 miles an hour.
You can do that in Germany.
Oh, yeah, in Germany you can, but in Austria and in Italy, 130 is your limit.
Hmm.
So I'm expecting a welcome aboard letter in the mail any day now for doing 190 in a 130 zone. And my friends in Austria with the hotel, they said, if you live in Austria and get a ticket like that, they take your license for 6 months.
Wow.
So fortunately, I don't live there. But anyhow, the refugee, if that's what you want to call them, in German, the word is Flüchtlinger. It seems to have tapered off a little bit. I haven't been, I've been back for about a week now. I haven't heard any more excitement over there. So
well, the one thing that sticks out in my mind is the little village on the border, the German border, is a German village
of
3,000 people. And they were ordered to take in and take care of 4,000 refugees.
Yeah, I saw that on the internet. I can't say whether that's accurate or not. Like I say, I didn't see that. I told you what I saw. The rest of it, you know, a lot of times the internet has some great news on it. A lot of times it has a lot of baloney.
Oh yeah, it's a sewer of defamation, lies, libel, you name it, as we know.
Oh yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center, otherwise known as the Spitlickers, have decreed.
I'd use another word beside spit.
Well,
sounds similar.
I'm not the originator of that term. So,
yeah.
But they have posted on their website that I am a neo-Nazi, which is total false. I'm not a Nazi, neo, or otherwise. I'm a Republican, which probably doesn't mean anything better to them anyhow.
Right.
And they said that Shark Hunters is a general hate group, which I guess is better than a colonel hate group. But we don't hate anybody. You know, Ronald Reagan was a member. The four Medal of Honor winning American submarine commanders were members. One was on my board, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, anybody can post anything they want on the internet, and that doesn't necessarily make it right. And we see that all the time. We have members joining Shark Hunters because they go to some of these online forums for U-boat information.
Uh-huh.
And holy cow, you know, you could go into one of those forums, any of those forums, and ask if they have information about the German U-boat filled with treasure that they heard about was sunk in the Sea of Tranquility. And before you know it, you'd have 20 or 30 so-called wannabe experts telling you all about this submarine in the Sea of Tranquility, not realizing that that's on the moon.
Now, unfortunately, they got the story wrong. That submarine is buried under a Polish mountain. They drove it in there on railroad tracks, full of gold, and buried it.
Yeah, my contacts over there are probably still laughing about that Polish treasure train. We said right out of the gate that it looks awfully fishy. You know, these two guys, one was Polish, one was German. They claim they knew exactly where the train was with 300 tons of gold on it.
Yeah.
And before long, it morphed itself into 400 tons of gold. And then somebody decided it had the amber room on board. And, okay, fine. If you have this train, show some proof. But they
wouldn't,
had no proof.
No proof, but wouldn't the Polish government tend to hide this and just say that's BS and stop all exploration, so and then later on sneak in there?
Well, that would make sense to me, but very shortly the Polish government popped up and said, we don't know where it is, but we're 99% sure that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a little while, well, I think the third or fourth day after this thing hit the air, the international Jewish Council, or I forget the term, they popped up and said that's all our gold. It was stolen from people at the camps. And then the Polish government said, yep, they're 99% sure it's there. They don't know where it is, but they're believing it's there. Then they came out and said they've ordered the Polish army to start excavating to find the entrance to the tunnel. And the Polish army said, yeah, but we ain't going to do that until springtime. And now everybody's backing off. And you remember right after this got traction, like they like to call it, some Russian engineer popped up and said, oh, yeah, he knows where there's a convoy, a truck convoy, southwest of Moscow, about 100 or 200 miles southwest of Moscow. It's buried in a mountain, too, and the trucks are carrying gold, silver, and jewels, but they burned the paper money, and they burned all the art treasures. Now, who comes up with stories like that?
That didn't make sense.
No, that one died quicker than the Polish treasure train. So, yeah, if I knew where there was a train with 300 tons of gold on it, you bet I wouldn't be telling anybody about it at all. I'd be toting that stuff out somewhere to sell it somehow.
Right.
300 tons of gold, my God. You could even buy Donald Trump with that money.
Yeah, you might make a dent in him.
Yeah.
The Chinese would buy it up. I mean, there's a market for that. Gold is oversold by a factor of 50.
Oh, boy.
There's no gold. You buy a contract, which promises to pay you if you want your gold. Otherwise, they keep it for you. It's the most amazing Ponzi scheme I've ever seen.
Are you talking about the U.S. dollar?
Oh, yeah,
no,
well,
sorry,
that too.
Different one.
No, that too. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm old enough to remember when we used to get silver certificates, the U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. It did not say Federal Reserve note. It said silver certificate, and it said this note can be redeemed in silver, you know, at the U.S. Treasury. But those days are gone. We're all working on artificial money.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, what I'd like you folks to do is go to guests on the homepage, and under Harry's name, Harry Cooper, you will find a word, photos. And I'd like you to load those photos up. We'll go on a little trip right now with Harry. That'll be a lot of fun.
I'm so happy I figured this one out all by myself this time. I didn't have to have you walk me through it.
No problem. No problem.
Incidentally, if your listeners want to grab a paper and pencil or a pen, nobody writes in pencil anymore, we'll be giving out some email addresses and stuff. You know, I'm going to be in Chicago on the 19th of November to present my book to the International Press Club of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And anybody who wants to can attend that luncheon. It costs $37 for the luncheon. And listening to me is free. But I guess
wow.
You got to buy the luncheon otherwise.
Well, you got to buy something.
Yeah. I don't get a damn dime out of it, and I have to pay my own way to Chicago and put myself up in a hotel. But it'd be nice getting back to my old hometown again, seeing some of the old places.
And it's 50% sold out already.
That's correct.
That's nice.
Yeah. And I've been a member of the International Press Club of Chicago since it was founded, and I've never been to the meetings there because I was already living in Florida by that time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Chicago, I wouldn't want to live there again because it's too doggone cold, too expensive, and too crooked in the government.
But, I was there once, and it was incredibly flat and very unappealing, very unattractive.
Well, yeah, but the culture is great. The museums are incredible. The dining is world class. It's a great place. But like I say, it's too damn cold in the wintertime now. I remember when I was living up there 45 miles northwest of the city where you don't get the buffering effect from the snow, from the lake, I mean, and it'd be 20 below zero for a whole week. That would be the high. And you're up to your knees in snow trying to get to your car.
Right.
Just not a lot of fun. And the taxes are just incredible. 10.5%, I'm told.
Is that that's a city tax? City sales tax or county?
Well, it's all lumped together. State, city, and county is 10.5%.
10%. You know, all right, I haven't heard about this discussed much lately, but if we simply went to a national value-added tax, seriously?
It would, to me,
there'd have to be some things ironed out, but that's fair. Wouldn't have to be 10%, 2%. And then a 1% tax on every Wall Street transaction.
And then how long do you think it would be before some state decides, well, we need to reinstate a sales tax?
Well, they wouldn't be able to. If they accepted this program, it would be a national program. They'd have to agree. Yeah. I just think it's fair that people all pay a value-added tax on something. Rather, the income tax as it is now is so
crooked,
outrageous.
Corrupt?
Oh, beyond.
Yeah, I know.
Far beyond.
But at any rate, in Illinois, they got a state income tax. Here in Florida, we don't. In Florida, your medicine and food is tax exempt, you know, because we're all old people here in Florida. And so we push the legislators to make the laws that we like, and we don't have to pay tax on mm-hmm. a lot of that stuff. So, mm-hmm. But like I say, I'll be in Chicago, and if any of your listeners would like to sign up for that luncheon, they just go to...
Oh, please do. You will have a wonderful time. Absolutely.
We'll put in extra chairs, too, if we sell more than 50%. But go to www.ipcc.com. IPCC for International Press Club of Chicago.
I need to start... In 23 years, I have never accepted an invitation. I'm not arrogant. I'm not being condescending, mean. I just don't travel. But it would be really fun to do just, even if it's just a question and answer with people. Someday I may do that. We'll see. But I'm really happy for you. That's a great tribute. 50% sold out already. Wonderful. And speaking of the IRS, in case you folks missed it, the... Department of Justice, the DOJ, with its new head, has decided today that it will not bring criminal charges against the IRS crook Lois Lerner or any other IRS official involved in the targeting of Tea Party groups in a decision Republicans ripped to shreds as a free pass to Lois Lerner. So big surprise.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the shock in this one?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's go look at some pictures. So,
let's look at some pictures.
Yeah, we got a wonderful trip for you. Harry and I are going to, I'm going to go along and learn, and you're welcome too. So look for guests on the left-hand side underneath my picture, or what passes for same, down below, and you'll see photos under Harry's name, and by all means, just click on that and load the page.
Dum-da-da-dum-dum-dum. I thought we had to have a fanfare.
Well, that was a kind of a dumb one, but it worked.
Story of my life.
Dumb.
Now, these are all photos. Now, these are just a handful of the photos from the recent tour we had there. We call it our patrol. That term was given to us by my dear friend Hans-Georg Hess, who at 21 years old was the youngest combat submarine commander of any nation in World War II, and probably of any at any time. 4 months past his 21st birthday, he saw heavy combat. There were other skippers who were younger, but they didn't get into the heavy combat like he did. He told us we would call them patrols. So this is our Southern Patrol. We do it every year, and anyone who wants to come with us just signs up. They can contact me at sharkhunters@earthlink.net and say they want to be put on the list. We'll put them on the list, and they'll get free information from us every day. history, U-boat history.
And don't worry about the word list. It won't be an NSA list, I promise you.
Oh, no.
Or a CIA list. It's a fun list.
Yeah, that's right. We don't give our list out to anybody.
No, of course not.
We were 2 weeks in Germany and Austria.
Okay.
And these are just a few of the pictures. To see them all, you go to sharkhunters.com, click on previous tours, and let your fingers do the walking.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. Let's start off with number one. We'll go through the break here. I don't want to stop. This is fun. Beautiful. What a beautiful room.
Yeah. And it is an incredibly historic room also. This is the third floor of the famous Hofbrauhaus in Munich.
Uh-huh.
And the third floor is wide open, as you see there. This is, and it could seat 800.
Oh.
And this is where Hitler used to make a lot of his speeches when he was coming to power.
Really?
Yeah. And number two, that's the stage. See, in number one, I'm standing right in front of the stage shooting out into the...
Into the audience.
Into the audience. There's a whole bunch of Japanese tourists. I'm sure they had no idea where they were sitting there. But then I just turned around, and here's the stage, number two. That's where he used to stand.
And it hasn't changed much at all.
No, you look at the stairs, and they're just as beat up. And if you look at the old videos that are in black and white, and uh-huh. sell some of those DVDs, go to sharkhunters.com and click on gifts. You can see him standing up there, and Rudolf Hess is by him, and Himmler and Goebbels, et cetera. They're all there.
That is an amazing stage, if it could only talk.
Oh, amen. And
wow.
Of course, we ate down in the first two floors, our dining area, and because Oktoberfest was going on at that time,
uh-huh.
there was about 90 gazillion people there. We couldn't find a parking space anywhere downtown. The streets, the parking garages, everything was filled. I wound up parking 4 miles outside of town, and we had to take the train in.
Unreal.
It was a busy place at Oktoberfest time.
Wow.
So
that's what is that, a little oom-pah-pah band up there on the stage or something?
For the Japanese or Chinese tourists. Chinese, I think, because everywhere you went, there were thousands of Chinese on tours.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how or why, but one of our friends who's married to a Chinese lady said that the Chinese government was subsidizing these tours to come around to places, subsidizing with, made in China money.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating. Just looking at that stage, and that's obviously original wood.
Yeah. Yeah, it's old. And if you're standing right next to it, you can see how old it is. We also had a tour through Munich, and we saw where the where the two temples were built that Hitler had built and were torn down later on. And we also saw where the
temples
stood.
Temples meaning
temples.
Temples to what?
I don't know. But he was not. They were not godless. He mm-hmm. was a Catholic. He used to sing in the Catholic Church, but. Mm-hmm. And some of the other buildings are still there, and they're being used for other things right now, of course. We went by the Feldherrenhalle, which is where on that one little street that comes alongside Feldherrenhalle, that's where the confrontation took place on the 9th of November, 1923, the so-called Beer Hall Putsch, and where there was a line of Bavarian police. And Hitler and General Ludendorff and Goering and some of the others marched up to it. And you have to applaud their bravery, but not their common sense, to march right up to a machine gun and not expect to get shot is a little crazy. And, a dozen and a half, I think, of Hitler's supporters were killed. Goering got shot in the groin area, but got away. Hitler and General Ludendorff got captured, arrested. Ludendorff got loose real quick. Hitler was sentenced to I forget the name of the prison, but he was sent to prison. He got out after a very short time. I would have thought somebody that tried to overthrow the government would have got a lot more. I think.
Well, he had sympathizers, obviously.
Obviously, he did. Yeah. Yeah. So we did that around Munich. We were there for a couple of days, and we went up to Nuremberg.
Now hold on. Picture number three.
Yeah, that's Nuremberg.
Okay, I'm good. That's where we are. All right.
Yep.
Now I want to ask you about that. There are what I would almost guess would be. It looks like guard towers with a wall surrounding this portion of the city. There's a big wall there.
Yeah, that's the old city wall from medieval times.
You're kidding. I was right. It's ancient.
Yes, and we're up in a 13th century tower that contains a museum that's operated by two friends of mine there, Michael Kaiser, who is now a lieutenant colonel.
Uh-huh.
In their army, and he's also the assistant to the Lord Mayor, I think, and his buddy, Holger. And Michael couldn't be with us this day because he was called into military duty, a lot of them, because of this border situation.
Yeah.
And so Holger took us around, And here we're taking pictures out of the lookout part of the watchtower. And, you know, they say that Walt Disney World is the happiest place in the world. But if you look down at that red-fronted building, guys can go there with money in their hand, and they become very happy, I'm told.
Right there on the corner?
Yeah, right. That's the red light district.
It looks like it's a red wall district. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Right. We always lose a couple of our people there for a while. But
well, that's very thoughtful of you to stop and drop them off. And
I don't drop them off. They just disappear from the group as we're walking by.
Well, that's just trying out a little Austrian pastry.
Is it okay? Well, yeah. Well, it's just still Germany. It's Nuremberg. Who am I to judge? I can say I have not stopped there.
Well, not this time. Okay.
Moving
now,
on. Okay.
I know enough about your past. You've had your days in the sun.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Way back in the old
That's
days.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
Now, in photo four, mm-hmm. This is looking out of that watchtower in a different direction. And if you look carefully, right under the number four, mm-hmm. You see the Nuremberg Castle.
Oh, I do. Sure.
Yeah. It's up on a hill. We went to the castle. It's actually three castles. It's all joined together. But the castle on the left was for the Kaiser whenever he came. Mm-hmm. The castle in the center was for the Burggraf. Graf being a count, so he was the count in charge of that whole area. And the one on the right is for the Nurembergers. And if you can see it, there's a tower on the right side. And the Nuremberg people built that tower so they could look down on the Burggraf's part and see what's going on there. And like in most castles, they didn't have furniture in them. Because this was not the main residence of the Kaiser.
Okay.
And when the Kaiser was coming to town, the people in the village had to haul their desks and chairs and tables and beds up there and put them in the castle for the Kaiser. And this gave start to something that has become tradition in Nuremberg. They were ordered to produce a certain number of sausages. And So the people in Nuremberg, they had to pay for it. I mean, the king ain't going to pay for it. So they came up with a sausage about the size of your little finger.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely rich. And we go to a...
You didn't eat any of those, did you?
Oh, you're darn right. Normally, we go to a restaurant that was in business 70 years before Christopher Columbus left for the New World. It started in 1416 or something.
Yeah.
We couldn't this time because a disgruntled employee threw a Molotov cocktail into the place a few weeks before we got there. He's in jail. They're rebuilding it. So we went to a very nice place.
Did Nuremberg survive the graces of the Allied bombing?
They had a lot of bombing. They had a lot of bombing and a lot of destruction. On the webpage, you're going through there, you'll see the main meeting room in the old city hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally burnt out, nothing but the walls left. But they rebuilt it in the style that it was before. And this had been there for centuries. Wars were ended in there. Two warring factions would get together and sign treaties, and then they'd sit down and have a meal there back in the medieval times.
Hmm.
And tremendous history. So,
it's amazing.
Yeah, so they rebuilt it.
Well, it looks like a lovely city.
Oh, it's a beautiful city. Yeah. In Germany and Austria, you just can't take a bad picture.
No, I get that idea.
Yeah, and you can't get a bad meal either. Even here in Nuremberg, when you order the little Nuremberger sausages, you only got two options. Do you want them fried or do you want them boiled, period? Hmm. And you're going to get six at a time.
Do they have ketchup in Germany?
Yeah, they had ketchup, and they also got mustard if you need. But these things are really, really rich, and we have our shark hunters contest there. Right now, the shark hunters' record is 42 of these little sausages.
With no coronary thrombosis afterward?
No, it was set by a guy named Steve Reha, who's still a member of Shark Hunters. He ate 42 of them things.
Jeez.
And then finished off with a gigantic chocolate sundae.
Ah!
He's a big guy. He's an iron worker from Detroit.
He's even bigger now. Hold on a minute, folks. We're going to go to picture 5 when we come back in just a couple of minutes with Harry Cooper. So stay tuned. Okay, I'm back with Harry, and we're on a tour of Austria, now Germany, and the beautiful pictures. Okay, picture number 5.
Picture number 5 and number 6 go together. This is where they had the death ceremony. In picture number 6, the photo was taken from on top of that building.
With the arches. With all the arches in front?
Yeah, all those arches, yeah.
So somebody took that picture from that same building, is still there, okay.
Yeah.
And the view the other direction is, my goodness.
Yeah, they had a few people there. But photo number 5, I took that shot just 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And on the ends of those two column things, they had the big bronze braziers with the blazing oil and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And from way in, and looking at number 6, way in the back where the big flags are flying, Hitler and two others flanking him would walk solemnly up that whole big long line between the troops.
Wow.
And let's see, on one side, one of the guys was Ernst Röhm before he got whacked during the night of the long knives, and he was replaced by Heinrich Himmler. I forget who the other guy was, but they'd come up there, and that's where they did the blood flag ceremony. And it's still standing there. Fortunately for history, whatever, the Federal Republic of Germany a couple of years ago passed a law that anything built by the Reich was now protected and could not be destroyed. So
that's a long walk, Harry.
Yeah.
And I wonder how all those men, well, they must have had to go to the latrine, some of them.
Well, all along the sides. Well, you mean the soldiers? Oh, no,
yeah.
You're not allowed. I was on parade several times, too. You're just not allowed to either go to the bathroom. You just can't.
Uh-huh.
You got to just have an iron valve.
Iron bladder.
Yeah.
Okay, the squares that I'm seeing, 5 across in the long shot, come to the foreground, and you took a picture. Is that the same concrete that was in there then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're paving stones of some kind.
Right, that's it. They pave everything, parking lots, the old streets are all
that's
paved
just incredible.
With these little blocks.
That's amazing.
Yep, and they're still there. Like one of our members said, you know, why bricks? Well, what lasts longer than a brick? Nothing lasts longer than a brick. So they built it to last.
What does Ehrenhalle mean?
Halle is like a hall. Ehren,
outdoor air, maybe?
No. Ehren is a remembrance, like a memorial.
Uh-huh.
Ehrentafel is a memorial plaque. Ehrenhalle is a memorial hall.
Okay. All right, next up.
Next up.
We have a winged eagle.
That's
a gold globe in its claws.
Right. That is the memorial to the Luftwaffe.
Uh-huh.
And why could the Luftwaffe have a memorial to World War II? Because those just are not allowed. Well, if you look on the left, it says 1914 to 1918. So it was put up for World War I.
Von Richthofen.
Right, and then they put the other part, 1939 to 1945, on the other one. And if you look closely, it looks like a crashed airplane. The eagle would be the tail, and the big part would be the nose of the plane smashed into the ground.
Got it.
Okay. It's there. It's right near the party rally sites. Like 200, 300 yards away. So we stopped there always, and it was moved there some years ago, but it's there permanently now.
Number eight.
They have a building there called the, in German it's pronounced Kongresshalle, Congress Hall. It was built in a big circle like the Colosseum in Rome, except you could put the Colosseum into the courtyard here. This thing is so big. It was built in a big circle. It was supposed to house all sorts of offices of the party, and it was going to be covered with a glass.
This is in the 1930s or the late 20s?
In the 30s. And it was going to be covered with a glass dome. But, it, you know, construction got stopped during the war, and it just never got started again. They are talking about, there is talk, that's all it is talk, that they might finish it off and use it for current government offices, but who knows, talk's cheap. Number eight, however, is unique because in the outer wall, on the outer rim of this place, that would be Hitler's own personal entrance into the Congress Hall.
So
they made it a little fancier. Number nine, we're inside the Congress Hall. We've driven our our bus in there and parked it. The reason I've got that guy circled, everybody in our group thought he was a spy. He had a black suit, black overcoat, black hat.
Totally incognito.
Yeah, black glasses. Yeah, he looked so much like a spy. He had to be probably a lost accountant or something, but that's what everybody was chuckling about.
That's
now, it does have a rather sad part of the story. In the closing months of the war, it was used as a field hospital, and when the war ended, Germany surrendered. The U.S. Army took over that area, and they went through the hospital, and they found, I think it was 17 guys in there who were Waffen-SS, and they just hauled them out into the courtyard and shot them dead.
Who did? The Americans?
Yeah, the U.S. Army.
Yeah. Very, very classy, more as classy.
What can I say?
Yeah.
Now, if you look at number 10, that one picture in the center, if you look real hard, you can see how it was supposed to look when it was finished. You can see the glass dome, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they were going to cover the whole thing with a glass dome.
Yep. The same in number 11. And what you're looking at here is a teacher with a high school class explaining to their children how evil the grandparents were.
Oh, please.
Oh, and it's by the zillions all over. Every class goes through that stuff. But, you know, what can I say? Not my country. I don't even have any control over the government in this country, and it's not anything.
No, we don't.
Not
no,
to write home
don't.
To mother about.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, then we leave for the famous Zeppelinfeld, picture 8, or 12, I'm sorry, 12. Naturally, there's a lot more photos of us there. This is the door way up high on that tribunal. That door was the door that only Adolf Hitler could come through.
Hmm.
he'd come by train, and there was a station right behind Zeppelinfeld, mm-hmm. and it's now a restaurant. We ate there. There's pictures of that on the website. And he would get off the train and come in the back of the big tribunal, and mm-hmm. there's a huge mm-hmm. hall in there where he would have a reception and just be meeting with very important guests, and all the while letting the people out there in the grandstands, a couple of 100,000 of them, get all pumped up because he's fashionably late. And you've seen the pictures yeah. of all the people. They had to pay money to go there. They didn't just pop in and listen to the speech. They had to pay money. That's one way Hitler got so wealthy.
By the way, you mentioned speech. One of the things that was done as part of the campaign to dirty Germany, soil it, they would take these films of Hitler speaking and speed them up. So he sounded like Mickey Mouse.
Oh, jeez.
They'd make his voice into a tenor, and he had a full-range speaking voice.
Yeah.
When you hear it at the proper speed, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, propaganda is a very powerful weapon. So anyhow, there's more pictures of my group there at the Zeppelinfeld at the tribunal, but this picture, number 12, this guy came a long way to be with our group. He came all the way from Australia.
Nice.
Yeah, nice guy. And I've been going to Germany for almost 30 years now, and this guy had never been to Germany before. He mm-hmm. speaks better German than I do.
Ah, interesting.
He studied it a little better, I guess. So after we got done with this day in Nuremberg, we went to a nice place for dinner that night, and then we headed for Austria. We went to a Spanish restaurant in Germany. It makes no sense, but the food was good.
No.
And then
picture number 13. We got a dragon there?
Yeah. That's when we went to southern Austria in the town of Klagenfurt. It's the county seat for Carinthia, or Carrington, as it's called. And according to the locals, this dragon was alive at one time, and it roamed all over Europe during medieval times, but it could only eat virgins, and the poor thing got here and just starved to death.
Oh, I think so.
And the story is that if a virgin walks past it, the tail will wag, and locals say that it hasn't moved in 50 or 60 years.
Ah, that's funny. That's very funny.
At the other end of the plaza, though, there's a picture of, what's her name, Maria Theresa, the Empress of Austro-Hungary. It's a beautiful plaza.
Yeah, obviously. All right, stand by, Harry. We have to take our top-of-the-hour break. We'll do that, come back, and a bunch more pictures to look at.
Yeah, number 14. More secret stuff, too.
Can't wait to hear that. And I can't wait to hear you explain picture number 14. All right, back after this. Don't go away.